Welcome to another message from all the parables in the Bible. We're studying the parables of Matthew 13. This is the number 96 of our classes. We're going to start with Matthew 13 and verse 18. And we are also on page 180 of all the parables in the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. Let's do our Bible reading first. Listen to then to the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom, and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what is sown in his heart, and that what was sown along the roadside. As far as what was sown on the rocky soil, this is the one who hears the word, at once welcomes and accepts it with joy, yet has no real root in himself, but is temporary, inconsistent, lasts but a little while, and when affliction and trouble and persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble, and he is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, 100 times as much as was sown, and another 60 times as much, and another 30 times as much as was sown. Another parable he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Good seed. This is what we call certified seed today. Good seed. It is guaranteed to grow what it says it's supposed to be. But while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also darnel, black wild wheat, among the wheat, and he went his way. So when the plant sprouted and formed grain, and darnel and weeds resembling wheat appeared also, the servants of the owner came to him and said, Sir, Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? And then how does this happen? Darnel shoots up in your field. He replied to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, then do want us to go and weed them out? Do you want us to go and dig up all of the tares? He said, no, lest in gathering the wild wheat, you uproot the true wheat along with it. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will say to the reapers, gather the darnel first, and bind it in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my granary. The title of this message is The Good and the Bad Seed. There was a movie a long time ago called The Bad Seed, which was about a wicked little girl. This is a story of good and bad seed tonight. Good and bad seed. Another story, by the way of comparison, he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, I want you to listen to this one, because we're going to come back to this mustard seed. Of all the seeds, it is the smallest when it is grown. It is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches. Now, this is a monstrosity. This is not a mustard tree. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, sourdough, which a woman took and covered over 3 measures of meal and flour till it all was leaven. And these things all came together, Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Now, leaven is never a type of good. This is the fulfillment of what was spoken of the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things that have been hidden since the foundations of the world. Then he left the throngs and went into the house, and his disciples came and to him, saying, "Explain this parable to us about the darnel in the wheat field." And he answered, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Jesus. Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, and secondarily, you, whoever you are, preaching, teaching, witnessing the Word of God with your personal testimony, whatever it is, that's good seed. Good and bad seed now. The field is the world. That is God's earth. God owns all of this world. And he set forth one church in that world to carry the gospel. And the devil has duplicated it 1,000-fold. But not of truth. Not enough truth for people to be saved. The fields of the world and the good seed means the children of the kingdom, and the darnel is the children of the evil one. And an enemy who sowed it is the devil, Diabolos. Diabolos, by the way, means to kill and destroy and to murder. It means to shoot a dart through, to throw through. The harvest is the close and the consummation of the age, and the reapers are angels. The close of the age, the church age. The Lord is going to rapture his people, and then we come way over here at the end of this age. All the way over here, at the end of this time, way back over here, people in the church age that are in false religions, when they die, they're going to go to Sheol, and they're going to remain there until they are all gathered up at the great white throne judgment over here. There will be a rapture here, I believe, right here. There's going to be a tribulation period where many people will die. 2/3 of the Jews will die, 5/6 of all the humans on the earth. Then in the millennial reign, there won't be one lost person goes in there. But at the end of this age, there's still tares in the field in God's earth. They aren't God's seed. They're Satan's seed. And Satan is let forth out of the bottom of the pit, Revelation 27-9. And he comes upon the earth and he gathers his own, and they rebel against God, and God puts them down and throws the old devil and all of them, as each and every one of them, judge in eternal hellfire forever and ever. Go back to number 40. 39 says, "The enemy who sowed it is the devil. The harvest is the close and the consummation of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as darnel, wild wheat, is gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out all of his kingdom. All causes of offense and persons by whom others are drawn into error and sin. And all who do iniquity and act wickedly." This is, you know, one of the most wicked things people do is start false religions like Muhammad did and Joseph Smith and Charles Taze Russell. These people are going to be suffering in hell more than anyone else because they have condemned so many people with their wicked errors and false doctrine. And he's going to cast them in the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and grinding and gnashing of teeth. Then will the righteous and those who are upright and right standing with God shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let him who hears be listening and consider and perceive and understand these things. Now let's go to page 180. Now in this treatise, he names Matthew 13, 24 through 30 and 36 through 43, which we read, plus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. With a slightly different aspect, this parable teaches the same truth as the previous parables. Here we have the mixed character of the kingdom and the final and absolute separation of all men into two classes, good and bad, lost and saved. Good and bad seed, lost and saved. Again, in this further exquisite parable, the great preacher himself, with characteristic charming simplicity and clarity, expounds the significance of his teaching in the parable of the sower. The seed is the Word of God. Luke 8 and 8 and 11. But those who receive that word into their hearts and proved it to be the transforming word are now children of the kingdom, the good seeds. As James expresses, of his own will begat he us with this word of truth in James 1:18. The parable presents the problem of evil. The fact of mingling of the evil with the good is a condition of things confronting us in all grades of society, all forms of government, in the home and in the church, no matter how we may legislate and separate seeds of corruption, seem to find lodging and growth to noxious weeds in good fields. The real and the counterfeit are ever with us. The good and the bad seeds are always with us. Good and evil are inextricable, interwoven into human society. Even the creative and destructive elements in anxiety are so mixed that it purge even moral achievement of sin is not so easy as moralists imagine. In the parable of the sowers, there are one sower, one kind of seed, and six results. In the parable of the tares and wheat, there are two sowers. Two sowers, two kinds of seed, and two harvests, and one of good and the other of bad, good and bad seed. In the first parable, there are four kinds of soil. People, remember from the last message. People, these are different kinds of people. In the first parable, there are four kinds of soil, and here for the fourth kind, the good soil, is before us with no reference to the wayside, rocky place, or thorny soil. The field is not divided into four unequal parts, yet each of all four soils, peoples, of the previous parable may be found throughout the whole field. The good ground is not separated and by itself in the field, but interspersed with other soils over the whole field. This is an important feature to note the interpretation of the parable before us. The field is the world, and all of the universe is God's. But there is Satan on a leash. The field yields both good and bad, wheat and tares. Let's go on down. The imperfections we have in every age. Sometimes people awaken to zeal and become enlightened, and sometimes the Catholic Church, which brought on the Dark Ages, and Catholic and Islam, that has brought on the Dark Ages, still in our time. Jesus distinctly taught that the field is the world. It's His field. In 13:24-38, He claims proprietorship. We do not deny the lamentable fact that in the realm of Christian professions, there are tares and wheat. Christendom versus the ecclesia. Christendom versus the true church. If it wasn't for the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no truth in the world today. But there are people, there are churches out there that have every shade of truth you can think of. And those that do not teach salvation by grace, but yet preach Jesus, that yet have congregations of religious people, can do more damage in God's kingdom than an outright heresy. Tares and wheat, all within the church age, I might say. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has lost people in it. That's a fact. There was at least one in Jesus' church, and that was Judas Iscariot, and he was a church officer also. He was a treasurer. He was also an apostle. Yet he was bad seed. The sons of God and the sons of the evil one can be found in this world today. The owner, the master of the field and the world is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The field then is the sphere of human habitation. In the world that God loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in which the enemy catches and snatches away the good seed, and also sows tares. The two sowers. The audience receiving this further parable was the same as before, namely the crowd assembled on the shore, as well as the disciples in the boat. To these, Jesus described the two sowers so different in character and purpose. Two sowers, two farmers, so different in character and purpose. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The devil, Satan, goes into the world to condemn sinners. There was a man revealed as a householder in Matthew 13:24-27. And as the Son of Man, in Matthew 13:37, in the previous parable, the sower stands for all proclaimers of the gospel. Also, as I said, you, wherever you are. Even Jesus Himself, hears the story of Jesus only, as its creator. He made man upright, created him in His own likeness, and that is, planted him in holy principles and aspiration in the paradise of God. The other sower is referred to as his enemy, the wicked one, the twisted one. Matthew 13:25-38, 38, and 39. It was not long before Satan sowed tares in God's wheat. It's not long before Satan began to disperse his churches among the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ to confuse mankind. It was not long before Satan sowed tares in God's wheat, Adam and Eve. The word Jesus used for this enemy is diabolos, the traducer, the liar, the murderer, the one who is against all that is true and high and noble. His enemy, that is, Christ's enemy, Christ has ever been the object of the devil's malice. In Matthew 4:1-11, we have the temptation of Jesus. By Satan himself. The audacity to come and to approach God the Son in human flesh and try to tempt Him. A trinity of good and a trinity of evil are here. They stand opposed to one another. The Father and the world, John 2:15, the Spirit and the flesh, Galatians 5:17, and Christ and Satan, Genesis 3:15. His enemy in the field that was not his. The enemy is in the field that is not his. In spite of prevailing evil in the world, it is still Christ's world when He returns to it as the Prince and the King of Kings, Adonaiha Adonaiim, in Revelation the 19th chapter. It will be pure world in which to live. The cunning of the enemy is seen in his action of the sowing tares among wheat while the servants slept. In the dark. We cannot take this to mean a lack of watchfulness on the part of the servants. They were not to blame for the mixed field. It was nighttime, when ordinary sleeping time for the field workers and watchers. Rather, are we given to insight into the cowardly nature of the devil. In choosing darkness for his diabolical work, and night for a cover. In a disguise. Evil is sown secretly, and the devil's dupes love darkness because their deeds are evil. Thus, the sleeping servants are not merely the dress or color of the parable. The two products, the Son of Man sows wheat in his field, and his enemy sows tares among the wheat. Some of the greatest religious leaders in the world are Satan's children. Charles Taze Russell has damned millions of people. Joseph Smith has damned millions of people. The Catholic Church has damned millions of people. Muhammad has damned millions, and these people that are the professors and the originators of these evil systems will suffer greater than all in eternal hellfire, because they have damned innocent souls that have followed them innocently so many times. This diabolical being would not think of sowing the wicked among the wicked. The wicked among the wicked. He sows the wicked among the good. And the two together constitute Christendom. In Christendom we have truth and we have lies. We have those profess Christ and those speak about Jesus, but don't preach Jesus. The tares. The devil's action was motivated by pure malice and wickedness and evil. Like weeds, have never been a marketable product. More accurately, tares are darnel, a seed scarcely distinguishable from the wheat seed, and not until it has sprung up can the difference be detected. They're eating up the good soil, the good nutrients, and the water. The life-giving things are taking away. People that go into false religious systems are living, breathing souls that become seeds of Satan. The fruit of Satan. Tares are not what we understand by the term, some noxious form of plant, wild corn, poisonous food. Tares. So vigilant and unresting an enemy as Satan has so many of them to sow tares of fleshly wisdom and pride and procrastination of sin. The closest scrutiny will often fail to detect the difference between tares and wheat. When both are less developed, we have an insight into Satan's subtle working. His method is opposition and imitation. Opposition and imitation. Many who are not the Lord's yet resemble those who are they. Go to church, pray, read the Bible, like Christians, but alas, are Christless. Namicious, aimed, was poisoning the field. Some of the wheat, necessitating great labor to get rid of it, and the lingering presence for years of some seeds of mischief. How wicked men become when they give way to revenge. The sowing of the weeds, the tares, was an act of revenge on Satan's part. One man, Dean Alford, had once a field belonging to him sown with wild mustard by a foe who disliked him. The devil, then, is revengeful and malicious. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The tares are the children of the wicked one. What differences of nature are suggested by the phrases children of the kingdom and children of the wicked one? The good and the bad seed. The latter do not draw their origin from the wicked one, but many mold their character by his promptings and are thus called children. John 8:44, these are the ones whom Satan sows among the children of the kingdom. The good seed, the wheat, the children of the kingdom, are equivalent terms. In the precious parable, or in the previous parable, the seed was a word of the kingdom, the good seed. And the good seed are also people, the good seed and the bad seed. Is a product of that precious word received and understood and obeyed, and namely those who through such become children of the kingdom. The Son of Man, as a sower or householder, sows only good seed. Jesus only sowed good seed. The Pharisees in his day sowed bad seed. The household sows only good seed, lives transformed by it, embodying the word of truth. It is the Redeemer's purpose to sow His redeemed ones into the world of sin and misery in order that they may be a fruit for His glory and satisfaction for His travailed soul. This is why He has sown you where you are. This is why Jesus has sown you where you are. Where are you? Africa? India? Australia, New York, Nebraska, Pennsylvania. Where are you? Oklahoma, Texas, California. Your seed, your sown. Grow up, and shine forth the Master's face. He has sown you where you live and labor. As one bought with a price and born of His Spirit, a new creation in Him and the heir of eternal life, He expects you to bear fruit in the corner of the field of this world in which He sowed you. Wherever you are, that's where you bear fruit. There are two questions. The servants of the householder or owner of the field ask two general questions. Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where do these tares, this false wheat, false religion come? Will you go out and have us gathered up? The earth is the Lord's. He also originated it and spread the gospel and nothing but the gospel. But the second part of the field, the first question brings us to the deepest of all mysteries of the person of God, namely the origin of evil. And it's continuous in the world today. The problem of the parable is as old as human race. There are good seed and bad seed. Why was the serpent allowed to enter paradise? Why was Judas permitted to be counted among the 12 and become an officer of the church? Why was the early church almost wrecked by false brethren? Why does God allow sin and sorrow blighting His world today? Jesus said an enemy has done this. But why is the enemy so active after almost two millenniums of Christendom? Sowing more tares ever in God's field. This is one of the mysteries to be revealed. Presently, as Christians, we should be mainly concerned with victory over evil rather than full explanation of what we do in this world. Will you wish that we go out and gather the tares up, suggests the serpents. We're eager to get rid of the noxious weeds. The householder's reply is two parts. First of all, he refers to the growth of the wheat and the darnel. It is unripe condition, the wheat and the darnel look alike, and to try to destroy the one would mean to destroy the other. The separation of one of the other would be beyond the wisdom of the servants. The second part of the answer is taken up with the final harvest. Let both grow into the harvest. Not forever will the good seed and the tares be intermingled. The time of separation will come. When angels, not men, will go out and secure the wheat and burn the tares. We're going to stop right there in this reading on page 182. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that this message go out this night, this day, and it bring forth fruits. All of those that You've sown throughout the world have a job to do, as we do here. Father, guide us, protect us, please guard us from all evil, from our own hearts, from others, from the devil, in whichever way he may come from us, and at us and to us. Father, help us do Your will. Forgive us where we fail You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.